This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Amount of money invested not only by the Bears but throughout the league, but the Bears were at the front of the pack. Again, addressing some of the biggest needs on this roster, which was full of holes. You have a team, when you don't have a captain or a leader on your offensive line, you've got trouble.
Yes, you do.
Brewing.
Yeah.
And when your best leaders are your interior linemen, I think you have a respect level that trickles down in every phase and every layer of your football team.
So keep it going.
You know, keep it going.
Look
at what else do you want? I'm just curious. What else do you want next?
Oh, I want more, because, more. Well, how do you like it? How do you like it?
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, baby!
Let's go!
Oh, the wearing of the green. Oh, Mr. David. Good morning to you, sir.
Top of the morning to you, Mr. Mulligan.
And the best of the afternoon.
Yes,
you suck.
Okay. Nice shirt.
Thank you, buddy.
I
got an old
you one up me.
Island jersey.
You totally one up me.
You got the green?
I thought it was going with green. It got the button-down green. It's a... Yeah, I don't think I've worn this before, and here you are in your Ireland football jersey.
Yeah, it's a football jersey.
It's very nice.
Yeah, I had to throw...
with an Expos hat.
Well, there you go. I had to throw a little... Well, I mean, you know, we're multinational. I had to throw
the French-Canadian St. Patrick's Day version.
I had to do a little base layer underneath, and it was 26 when I left
chilly.
The house this morning.
It's chilly.
What is that?
It's springtime in Chicago.
Yeah, I guess.
On Friday, it was summer-like.
Yeah.
On Monday, it's back to wintry mix. Yesterday was a disaster weather-wise. Not good running weather, by the way.
Not
That's all I care
weather.
About.
Yeah.
So today, maybe not much better. But it is St. Patrick's Day. You are back, and it is a busy week ahead. All kinds of sports colliding.
Holy cow.
We got for our interest.
Selection Sunday.
Oh, goodness.
We got the Cubs opener tomorrow. We got a host of people coming in.
Hold on.
We're going to be...
Let me go a little bit. Keep talking. I'm filling out my bracket.
There you go. Are you only just filling in your bracket?
I'm filling it. Well, I know. I have my bracket on paper, but now I didn't have the bracket because I couldn't print it out.
Okay.
So I get in here, and obviously we have a blank sheet.
Everyone's already filled
only
out.
Only one. Yes,
bracket.
Molly, that's what people do.
Nah.
I know you resist this every year. It's very. You like to
slow.
Wait.
play it.
You want to wait until Thursday at 11:50.
That's right.
And like before the first tip-off.
I don't like to rush it.
You're not even sure about your choice for the play-in game on Tuesday night until Thursday.
The problem is I came into the weekend thinking that there are going to be a lot of SEC teams to keep an eye on.
Yes.
So I should be keeping an eye on them. And I decided, really, before the weekend began, that Florida was playing better than any team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go ahead and they win the SEC tournament, and everybody agrees.
They're the trendy pick.
Now everyone is
picking them. They're the trendy pick.
So I'm like, back to the drawing board.
Molly's setting the tone, and the nation is following your prediction.
No, I'm saying now that they're the trendy pick, I got to reassess.
I agree. I hate that.
When
you're watching the selections show, and all four, I think, of the studio analysts, the experts, are picking the same team, I'm like, come on. Can somebody go out on a limb there?
Yeah.
Can somebody tell us something? I know Florida's playing well. I think it's interesting they have, you know, this chance now to do what they haven't done since the Billy Donovan era. All that mm-hmm. stuff is fun. No. Gators go home.
No.
But it is the NCAA tournament, otherwise known as the SEC Invitational.
Auburn looks like has been this tough team.
Can't
all
do
year.
It.
Then they lose at the end.
Yeah.
How many teams fall on their face and then rally in the tournament? It can be done.
Let's ask Brad Underwood that, because if they want to do that. Because they pretty much fell flat in their face in the Big Ten tournament.
Did you watch the Michigan-Wisconsin game?
Yes.
Boy, Michigan came back and won that game.
They have a resilience that is definitely valuable in March. Their coach is very good in close games, Dusty May.
Yes.
And I think he's a guy that makes that team a little dangerous. Not going to lie. Michigan, I feel differently about them now than going into the tournament, because going in, they had lost three in a row.
I know.
It's really going to be a lot of fun, because there's going to be some team that we don't expect that's going to get there.
I enjoy hearing Rick Pitino talk. I don't know how to feel about him. I'm very flummoxed by the Duke situation.
I think we're going to probably overrate and overstate how that injury will affect Duke. And in 2 weeks, it'll probably be a memory.
Right.
And Cooper Flagg, it means so much to that team, but they're good enough to win without him in the first two rounds, I believe, mm-hmm. if he doesn't play or if he's compromised. Duke's coming in hot, because they've lost one game since Thanksgiving.
Yes. And they did not, but again, they're playing in a league, with all due respect, that North Carolina makes the tournament out of. How? If anyone has watched North Carolina this year.
Non-conference scheduling.
You know they do not belong.
Non-conference scheduling. I'm not going to make the argument for them, but Blue Bloods tend to get a little bit of a benefit of the doubt.
David, they have one, count it, ready? One quad one win.
I know.
And every team in the Big Ten has more than that.
They're undefeated in quad two.
Every team in the league has more than that.
Blue Bloods always get the benefit of the doubt.
I know, but like that's way more than the benefit. They lost a quad three game at home.
I know, but
they don't belong in the tournament.
Here's the thing. You say that, and everyone will echo that, and nobody disagrees with that, really, mm-hmm. outside of Chapel Bill. I think that when you look at North Carolina, you can say all those things and they're valid and all the numbers support it. Watch, they're going to win two games.
No.
They're going to win the play-in game and they're going to win their first round game. Boom. I just have it. It's in writing.
No.
I got them. I think they're going to actually win three games.
No.
One, two. They're going to beat.
You're checking your own picks to determine how many games they're going to win.
Of course I am.
Well, I'm just saying.
It's like everybody else in America.
That is not the...
I got them going. They're going to beat San Diego State.
No.
Then they're going to beat Ole Miss.
Never.
Then they're going to beat Iowa State. And they're going to play Michigan State.
No.
Boom.
Don't do
boom, boom, boom. Dustin,
they will do nothing.
Back me here. I'm not Mr. Tar Heel.
I'll tell you right now.
That is how the bracket works. Yes, I will confirm that.
They are not going to make the tournament. I got news for you. There's going to be an emergency meeting. They'll reconsider, and they'll scratch the name.
They're just going to get into the argument, are those first four games
Yes, they are. They start tomorrow.
But see, I don't know if they are, because you don't have to have your bracket in.
Yeah, you do.
Well, the 11 seeds seem
old-fashioned
like old-fashioned
people do.
Right? It's the 14 seeds or whatever.
I will bet you a vanilla latte that North Carolina wins the play-in game.
If I win the bet, can I order a regular coffee?
Yes, you can.
Must I have a vanilla latte? It seems cruel.
I know it does. You guys hate my vanilla lattes. I don't know why.
No one hates your vanilla latte.
But I do think
we just don't love it.
Bubba Cunningham's getting a lot of heat.
Yes, he is.
Athletic director at North Carolina he's had a tough year. Coup that brought Bill Belichick to Chapel Hill against his wishes. Now he's the chairman of the committee. You think it'd come with some sort of stature and prestige. He can't get out of there quickly enough. And it's now he's under heat, and I get it. I get it.
Ah, gosh. It's so much fun, tournament time. It is so much fun. And I'm really looking forward to it. I do wonder, we've never seen this many teams from a single conference in the tournament ever. Mm-hmm. And I found it really interesting. Jay Wright, I believe, asked the question on CBS of the tournament committee members. The president and whoever was with him, and they asked, how did you keep them all from not meeting in the second round? And they admitted they had to do a lot of work and a lot of manipulation to ensure that they weren't all just going to get in the tournament and play each other.
It's like it's a conference tournament.
But this is a conference tournament. As a result, they could do tons of damage in this tournament. It's almost unfair to other schools.
It's more evenly dispersed.
Exactly.
The damage and wreckage will be spread out.
Yes.
Yes. But that's the only thing you can do. You don't want to bunch them in the same cluster.
Oh, just have a tournament and allow one team in.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to want that. They just had that. It's called the conference tournament.
I know.
So I don't think that's probably fair.
Florida gets in, the rest of you get lost.
Florida, Tennessee has it. They have a chance.
Tennessee, you love that.
Alabama.
Love Tennessee.
I don't love Tennessee.
You love Alabama.
You know, I don't really like many of these SEC
teams. No, you
teams.
Don't. That's
I don't like,
so
and I don't
fun.
Like Auburn.
Yeah,
I don't like
you don't
Auburn.
Like, you don't like the coach.
I don't like the coach.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. The one team that did get in from the SEC that the only time last night watching the selection show, I pumped a fist. You know, I pumped my fist. I'm not a big fist pumper.
Oklahoma.
I did.
When
I pumped my fist.
Comes screaming down the plane.
Porter Moser back in the tournament.
That's right. Good for him.
7 years after making magic in Loyola, taking them to San Antonio, Porter Moser is back. Love it.
Yeah.
Love
great.
It.
It's really good.
I don't know if they can win.
For Porter. Well, they're in that.
They're not going to face
any division opponents.
Well, they're going to play against the best coach in America, the best blanking coach in America, according to Danny Hurley. Connecticut, Oklahoma, the best first-round matchup.
What do you think of
maybe not
Connecticut, generally speaking?
I don't like them.
You like the three-peat?
I don't think they're going to three-peat. They got double-digit losses.
Danny Hurley got to you a little bit?
Yes. I'm tired of Danny Hurley.
Yeah,
I have Hurley fatigue.
He's so unruly this year. And he may have been very unruly, but they were winning,
that's a good,
we never bothered with him.
Unruly sounds much more palatable than annoying. But he's been both.
He's just in a foul temperament all the time.
He's been both.
He's the kind of guy that needs to get 10-minute penalties.
Oh.
Not Connor Bedard.
Oh, gosh.
They must confuse him with
We'll get to that.
With Hurley.
That's a very upsetting situation, a developing type of situation that's going on too long. Two games is too long. Connor Bedard getting penalized and reprimanded for being a potty mouth?
It's crazy.
He's a teenager.
I know.
Wash that mouth out with soap. Put him back on the ice. But it does seem like they're picking on him.
Oh, does it?
Is that a provincial point of view?
No, not at all.
It does seem like, what's wrong? What did he say?
What? It doesn't make tons of sense. Nice young man. Leave him alone.
Seems like a very polite young man.
Yeah.
But not to
the officials.
But
it's open season. Trip him all you want if he says anything.
It's open season on Bedard. You can cross-check him, and there's no penalty. You can abuse him and nothing. But, boy, if he opens his mouth and says,
come on, that was a trip.
That was a trip. Oh, boom.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You called him buddy?
It's just weird. Okay. Yeah.
Back to the tournament, though. Were you Were you surprised that? Were you surprised in anything about the seeding? Everyone always argued about the seeding.
You know, I really wondered going in if the fact that Duke won the tournament without Cooper Flagg was important enough. That I wondered, with Cooper Flagg in question, I mean, whether that you say he's going to play in the tournament or not, were they still the number one overall seed? Mm-hmm. I thought they'd be the number one overall seed because they were the number one team and they didn't lose at all. And then to have that, to instead see a team that lost a couple games and didn't win its tournament as the number one overall seed. I get it. Duke's still a number one seed, and they're the second of the number one seeds. But that did give me a little pause, because one of the thoughts I had was, wow, I wonder if they'll still be a number one overall seed with, because I felt they were, with Flagg in question for the beginning of the tournament.
I almost made a Flagg and Anthem joke, but I will not.
Oh, go please. No. Please, we'd love a Flagg and Anthem.
No, I think that Cooper Flagg
hashtag
is obviously somebody who is as compelling as any player in this tournament. I also think what happens to Cooper Flagg in this tournament, potentially, based on the conjecture over the weekend, affects whether or not he's going to come back. That's still in play, which is very unusual, because we didn't expect that. Cooper Flagg returning to Duke for year two if they don't win the national title, or for some reason he's not able to contribute because of the injury. Now, that would really ruin a lot of people's hopes and dreams in many NBA cities, several NBA cities.
A lot of teams that have been kind of purposely losing.
Yes. Yes. Okay. A lot of teams that are trying to capture the flag.
Hashtag capture the flag.
There we go. Not the least of which in Chicago. It's something to keep an eye on.
The committee also had already made all their decisions and had done a lot of things before the tournament began. For instance, and I know the Big
Ten. Before the Big Ten tournament.
Well, the Big Ten tournament finishes with Michigan beating Wisconsin. Wisconsin, correct me if I'm wrong, is a 3 seed. Michigan is what, a 5 seed?
Well, that was the road I was leading you down. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a travesty. That word gets thrown out every year, Monday after Selection Sunday, usually somebody on the committee. But that is definitely, it's travesty-like that you could watch that game, declare the winner, see Michigan do what it needed to do. And
then 7-footers.
An hour later, find out they are lower seeded than the team they just beat.
That's pretty crazy.
It's stupid.
It was like they decided at halftime it was over.
You guys done? Yeah. Go get a snack because we'll come back, take a shower, then we're going to be on TV.
It wasn't like they were going to put one team in. Made the decision. It was weird.
It was definitely weird.
It was just weird because of the timing of watching the game, seeing the finish, and then finding out the other team was ranked higher.
Now, in contrast to that, there was a reason I feel like, if you saw any of the video or of the Illinois reaction and postscript, Brad Underwood was smiling because they got rewarded.
Yeah.
6 seed, pretty good. That's based good on how they got beat in the tournament. Also, Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a very good venue.
Close to Chicago in particular.
It's a good location for Illini fans. It's not a big trip for the Illini themselves. And
what,
I think
about 6 hours from Champaign? What do you think? Five?
No, I don't think. Probably.
Probably.
Depends how fast you drive and what traffic is like. Maybe five.
Maybe four.
Okay, yeah.
Four and a half.
It depends. But I think it's doable. Plus, a lot of fans in Chicago will make the trip up.
Sure. Yeah.
And
especially a lot of fans in the northern suburbs. It's basically 45 minutes.
It's a good commute. Craig Council country. Maybe it's stop by Whitefish Bay.
There you go. Just to go to the old bull yard there.
Yeah, see,
mess up the park.
Make sure the sign is not defaced any longer.
Leave some Cubs gear.
No, that's just baseball, unfortunately.
That's just baseball. Speaking of the Cubs, I have to tell you,
yesterday
before Selection Sunday, these games they played in Japan that supposedly mean nothing, you watch them and you could lull yourself into thinking they meant something. There was a little atmosphere. Seemed like an intensity. That's actually, now I feel like these exhibition games were the right way to prepare for spring, even though the trip's very long and exhaustive and maybe exhausting. But I like the baseball.
Okay.
And I like seeing Matt Shaw get a two-run single with two outs. I'd like to see these things. Gage Workman, another hit. They win yesterday 4-2. Matthew Boyd looked great.
Yeah.
Cubs looked really good yesterday.
I agree.
Not so much the day before. They were shut out.
Does the whole Ohtani thing get in your way a little bit of getting ready to celebrate?
I'm not celebrating anything except for the broadcast was a lot more compelling than I anticipated.
It just feels like this whole thing is about Ohtani.
The coronation.
That's what.
Yeah.
It is a
coronation. And I thought that was funny.
He is the Beatles.
To hear he is the Beatles, one man band.
Yeah.
And he warned Dave Roberts before they went over there for a promotional thing earlier in the winter that I'm just telling you, you're going to see pictures and posters and billboards of me everywhere. Yeah.
There's a groupie factor with the entire population of the country.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I know the Cubs travel well, but I don't know that they can.
And yet he still struck out yesterday.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens.
The mighty
so
Casey.
I'm not conceding anything until we see it happen.
I like it.
The Cubs need a split. If they can split with the Dodgers 1-1 in Japan, it can be one of these trips that they look back at as maybe as a bonding experience.
Oh, look at
Kizuwa. Was that the... What was the word that Craig Counsell used the other day that we used? We referred to, he wanted this to be a bonding experience, one that brings everyone together and forms a basis of for the entire season long.
Kizuna.
Kizuna.
Which is like a Japanese word for bond.
Kizuna.
Kizuna.
Okay. That's good.
They're set.
Bond.
The Dodgers, they have the best team money can buy. The Cubs have Kizuna. Did you see Tom Ricketts on the broadcast yesterday wearing a helmet in the front row, sitting next to Eddie Vedder in a helmet in the front row because they give helmets to fans because they don't want them to get hit in the head by foul balls?
So they just go along with it and wear helmets?
Yeah. He was drinking a beer and wearing a helmet.
Well, that's really what baseball's all about.
You can drink as many beers as you want because if you fall over, you're protected.
You got a buddy next to you. You're both helmeted up and you can just chat it up.
Helmeted up. Hi, what were the White Sox doing naming Sean Burke the opening day starter?
That's a great question. I believe, is that in our pick six? It should be.
Yeah.
Just that question.
That's a tease.
What the hell was that?
Well, what's surprising? That's what we know.
Oh, was it?
It was very surprising.
Yeah.
Done filling out my bracket there.
Does that mean that they're going to be trading him by...
No, he's 25 years old.
Yeah.
He's a third-round draft pick.
No,
he's homegrown.
If you're the opening day starter, you are immediately
typically
traded.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it depends on
how well you do.
He's going to be traded next spring.
Okay. Well, I mean, odds are.
Before he signs that long-term contract.
If you're following the plot.
I'm following the plot. The Sox have had their prospects game yesterday.
I saw
the breakout game, I believe.
I saw it. I did record it.
Okay.
So I wanted to watch some basketball, and I wanted to watch the selection show.
Yeah.
So I didn't sit in front of the whole game, and I didn't have enough time to do both. So I chose the I felt more relevant.
Yeah.
But that's
basketball.
Something that you can chew
the,
over.
The prospect game?
Yeah, yeah. I'll go back and see. They had great – I mean
– Fair question.
Noah Schultz. And
yeah.
They had, Hagen Smith
and all that. Fair question.
Yeah.
How do you know the difference between a White Sox prospect game and a White Sox spring training game?
The prospects are better.
Okay. Yes. See, I'm glad
that
you
the
can
trick
say,
question?
You can say that. Yeah, as a Sox fan, I'm glad that you said that.
Why can't you say that?
Because it sounds mean.
No, it doesn't.
If I said it, it would sound meaner.
But no, it's just a statement of fact.
That is the way to tell the difference.
That's the
prospect team is deeper.
They still lose. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, yeah. They.
A lot of good prospects on display. They did a nice job, CHSN.
Who's your favorite Montgomery? It's
Braden,
a tough question.
Right now, Braden's pulling ahead.
Are you a little disappointed?
I'm a little disappointed in Colson. I know you were gone.
Your fellow school by legend, who's your school by legend, is not
He's an Indiana boy.
I didn't take that well last week. I was disappointed in a lot of things. Also, I think because we were led down a path to believe just a day earlier that he was going to be starting an opening day. which I thought was a bit premature too, because he was like 1-for-9, hadn't played in 8 days.
Yes.
But they had left the door wide open for him starting an opening day, and then 24 hours later, it's like, eh, we'll see in Charlotte.
He'll be back.
But when? No, he won't be back.
That was a back joke.
Yeah, because there's nothing to come back to. He hasn't even arrived.
No.
Can you go back to something before you arrive?
I'll be back.
I want him to debut.
Yeah,
with
he will eventually.
His back intact.
Well, there's the rub.
And maybe they're doing him a favor.
It's another back pun.
You know how hard it is in March
rub it up.
When
rub
it's chilly here to have your back loosen up.
I do, Sandy.
So if you have back problems, I think the South Side of Chicago, probably not the place to be if you're trying to get a loose back. So bring
I'll
him.
Be back.
I'll be back. Thanks, Arnold.
All right, we got to get to the pick six. So much to discuss. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the school.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Can you believe there are 14 SEC teams in the NCAA tournament? The selection committee tried to keep as many separated as possible, and as a result, there are just 3 opportunities that they will play each other in the second round. As a result, how many SEC teams will you have in your Final Four?
You know, I was first thinking about this question, about the number of them and how many of them, how good they are, I was contemplating of the top 5 teams, I think there are 5 that have a shot at the Final Four, and I thought Florida was probably 3rd, and they were going to be my the team I would take, and I would probably take Auburn. Auburn now has given me a reason to kind of reconsider that, but I was debating whether it was 3 or 2. So I'm probably going to have 2 in my Final Four, but that is not certain yet because we have plenty of time. There's no need to rush it. But I am definitely – David's finished, so it's got to be – we got to have him in today. But I love the way you earnestly held that up. But, oh, Dustin, you two are done. I like to take every minute. I like to get latest injury reports.
I'm just going because the question, we're on the clock already. The first question of the pick six was, how many do you have in your Final Four?
I'll have two.
I was panicking.
I'll have two. I think it's because there are so many, and they have they've made a conscious effort to kind of separate them, and it's almost like they put together the bracket with those teams in mind. So I'll go with 2.
So if there
it'll be a disappointment, Dustin, if there aren't 2. Sorry, go ahead.
If there are a bunch of chesty SEC fans out there, and while that is a very impressive number, 14, let's keep in mind, this is also an expanded SEC. It's an expanded big – this is the first year during the tournament part, NCAA tournament part, that the SEC has had this many teams in the SEC. Okay, so I'm sure somebody could do some math.
Yeah, ditto the Big Ten, but we've seen more Big Ten teams.
Oh, why y'all complain about that?
Why am I complaining?
Yeah, why y'all complaining?
I'm complaining about like chesty SEC fans. No. That's what I'm complaining about.
That's what I was trying to be there. Sorry. Yeah.
I also, like Mike Mulligan, have two SEC teams in my Final Four.
All right.
You could make the argument, and it wouldn't be that outrageous, that there could be an all-SEC Final Four. You could look at Auburn and Florida and Tennessee and Bama, and you would have the SEC Invitational as your Final Four. I don't have that, but I think you could definitely argue that because it wouldn't be that outrageous. I have one. Uno. I have one. Almost as a reaction, an overreaction, I'm sure, to the SEC expanding and then invading the NCAA tournament like no conference ever has before. I was only happy about one SEC team making the field, and that would be Oklahoma because of Porter Moser. Welcome back to the tournament, Porter. I hope that you beat Danny Hurley by 20 points so he can cry all during his post-game press conference about how he was outcoached, how Porter Moser outcoached the best blanking coach in America. That was my only SEC positive reaction yesterday. The rest of them don't really follow or want to acknowledge the fact that they are dominating this tournament, but they will dominate this tournament. I'm still going to go with one in the Final Four.
Is it
and
Oklahoma?
I remember the question was...
Did I hear you right?
That's a tease.
That was the voice of Mike DeCourcy. He'll be here at 8:25 this morning to help break it all down. Did the Big Ten get enough love from the NCAA Selection Committee? Can you believe Indiana didn't make the cut? How about every single team in the conference getting more quad one wins than North Carolina that somehow made the cut with only one?
It's a good question. That's a really good question because Indiana... It was as if my initial reaction was like, boy, the tournament ignored the Big Ten. The committee ignored the Big Ten tournament except for Indiana. They saw the way they went out and like, well, they don't belong. They're not going to get in this tournament. I think they might have been one of the first or second teams out. But in fairness, removing my Hoosier native bias, I do think that West Virginia has a much, much more.
That was a more slighted team.
Definitely, yeah. Much more to complain about than Indiana. Indiana probably got what it deserved. They did have an underachieving season. They're moving on from Mike Woodson. That's still a very good job. We can bait that later. We have. But I think that my reaction was that they belong. But then I look at West Virginia getting snubbed and think they had a better claim to stake to that. So I think you definitely look at that. And the Big Ten get enough love from the selection committee. Michigan got hosed. And I think Illinois probably feels pretty good about it. But overall, Michigan State has pretty good, I think they've got a pretty good bracket there. They're the two seed and losing in the tournament the way they did. So I think that was appropriate. But overall, I think they didn't have as much to complain about in terms of teams being omitted from the field as maybe some other teams like West Virginia did.
Well, and you can't tell me that Bubba, being the head of the selection committee, the AD at North Carolina, whether he's allowed in the room when they're talking, but he's still in the room.
Yeah.
He's also in charge, right? So there had to be, there's also that little aspect of it. They did say that if there would have been an upset in the Memphis-UAB game, so UAB would have gone in and that North Carolina would have been kicked out. Now, the other debate is, okay, are we spending too much time talking about the 35th best team in this tournament, perhaps? Okay, but because of injuries and the way they seeded this, and David, you predicted this, I believe, in the first segment, if I have it right, I've not gotten a look at your bracket, but I think you said that North Carolina was going to beat Ole Miss. Didn't you say that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And then Iowa State comes in to this tournament with their best player not playing in the tournament. So they could be another. But I'm saying West Virginia,
yes,
Indiana. So I'm saying West Virginia, Indiana could have that same beef. Now, what would happen to solve all of this? There will be so many fans of San Diego State to go ahead and beat North Carolina. But I feel the same way. Like, if North Carolina does somehow get in there, I mean, North Carolina's still got good kids. You know, the ACC overall had a down year this year. So it could be much to do about nothing. But because of these injuries and because of where they got seated, I think there's a little bit more of a spotlight on it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I got to be honest about all this. This is a fascinating kind of a question and a fun detail to all this stuff. But I do think that, you know, you do look at Bubba being involved. You do wonder who did get slighted the most. I'm not against feeling kind of peeved with the selection committee. And I think that, I don't know. I don't know that the Big Ten got enough love, frankly. And I think Indiana probably should have gotten in. And I think that, you know, when you're taking 14 teams, it's the first year that the Big Ten's been expanded too, right? So can't we take that into account a little bit? I how many teams were we told from the Illini coach needed to be in 10? Didn't he say 10?
I think he might have said double digits, maybe even more than that.
So, yeah, they kind of got slighted a little. Fair enough.
Pick 6.
Do you like Illinois getting in as a 6th seed in the Midwest, even if they have to wait the winner of the first 4 matchup between Texas and Xavier? What does it say to you that it's their 5th straight NCAA bid after waiting since 2013? Can they match or better last year's Elite 8 run?
I think it tells you the program's in really good shape. It tells you that he's doing a really good job. And it tells you that the committee is taking that into account. When they don't look and say, oh, they got eliminated, you know, let's lower their seed. That's a solid seed for a team that could have been punished if you were in so choosing to. But I think the fact that it's been 5 years running and they were an Elite Eight team plays in their favor. That sort of thing should be taken into account.
It definitely means the program's in good shape. They're in good hands. I think Brad Underwood does a very nice job with this team. They're just really hard to figure out. I thought the game against Maryland, who I like quite a bit, would have been much more competitive. I was surprised it got as lopsided as it did the other night. So they get to go. They're playing in Milwaukee. And I like the fact that it's, I guess, the 8:45 game on Friday night as opposed to the 8:45 game on Thursday night. I'm just saying, for our purposes, right? Okay. It's better that they're playing on Friday night versus Thursday night.
But spring in action?
No, I actually am going to a daddy-daughter dance on Friday. That's good. But maybe I'll make it to the spring in before they close. But then, if you are able to win, and I don't understand the, I see it on both sides, and maybe this is something we can ask Mike DeCourcy, or you guys can educate me. I don't understand why the 6th seed gets the winner of the play-in game. I don't understand how that works or how they figured that out. I need an explanation of that. Because Texas is a good team. That's a good team.
That's a good question because I don't know how they determine those because they certainly aren't the last teams in.
Right. I just feel like if it made sense, like those teams should be playing all the number one seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They already played a game. They got worn out. Right. If this counts as the tournament, you know, or are automatic bids go to this, or is that not the case? I have to look into that a little bit more. Mike DeCourcy, 825, can explain that. But then you're in Milwaukee. You could go to Indianapolis. But again, look at their bracket. It's a really tough region.
Kentucky's going to be tough.
Right? I mean, so it's like, boy, okay, you get Texas maybe, and then what after that? So at least they're playing in Milwaukee, so it's kind of a homish game.
Yeah, it's close enough where Illinois fans can get to if they so choose. And they should get there for the first round game because I just don't feel good about the second round game because they're matched up against Kentucky if both those teams win. But the winner of Texas Xavier isn't going to be easy either. It will be Friday night. One of the favorite players to watch in this tournament, hopefully Illinois plays long enough so people can appreciate him, but Kasparas Jakašiūnas. It's Jakašiūnas, I believe. He's from Lithuania. He is a do-everything guard. He really plays all over the place, but he's a guard and he is a shooter and his basketball IQ is off the charts and he is a potential. I think Bulls fans might want to watch him very closely because if a certain president of basketball operations is still leaning toward Lithuanian born players during the draft, Jakašiūnas could be somebody to keep an eye on. They play They play the way that all Brad Underwood teams play. Hard. Hard. And they'll defend and guard, and they'll do the things. What's most impressive to me about this Illinois group, as we kind of have sort of paid attention to them throughout the winter and the season, this is a whole new team than the one that went to the Elite Eight. And Brad Underwood minds the transfer portal as well as any coach in America. And that's what this says to me. The committee appreciates that. And the consistency is there because the coach hasn't changed even as the roster turns over.
Boy, that's a good question.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer, Cubs radio analyst. He'll be sitting in between you guys at 9:25 this morning in studio. What have your impressions of the Cubs in Tokyo been, where they played Go Cubs Go inside the Tokyo Dome after the Cubs victory Sunday? Is there a viral moment on or off the field that stands out? How about the news breaking overnight that Mookie Betts will be not playing, ruled out the starting shortstop with illness?
That's really something. If you're a Dodger fan, if you're a baseball fan, 15 pounds he's lost, that's more than just getting some bad sushi. That's something that probably is a virus that you don't...
I don't think there's any bad sushi in Japan.
Oh, okay, I'm just saying. You wonder, I mean, how does he get sick? Is it food poisoning or whatever? It's a bad development if you're a Dodgers fan. This Cub weekend was outstanding to watch. There was an intensity to these games because the crowd gets into it, and every bat, you're like, these are spring training games? It felt like October watching. And you watch the way that they were engaging the dugout. This wasn't your typical afternoon at Sloan Park in Mesa. This was something where you wonder what effect that will have on the readiness for the game tomorrow or the season itself. But this would be something you're going to have to recover from because there is definitely – It's out of the ordinary, and it's earlier than expected. Viral moments, the Marquee Sports Network has done a terrific job of capturing all of the things off of the field, away from the ballpark. Taylor McGregor has like become this social media influencer in the last week just because of the way that she has been out in front of some of these fun things that they've been doing. Baseball-wise, Matthew Boyd, if he can stay healthy, is going to be an asset.
Yeah, Matthew Boyd had a nice afternoon. Also had a spectacular play in the field by Dansby Swanson that they showed from this really cool camera angle that I've never seen before.
Avatar.
Just really, really cool. And then Matt Shaw, you know, getting a big hit, driving in a pair of runs in the 4-2 win. The fact that they played Go Cubs Go, they were chanting the fans there were chanting PCA's name.
Yes.
The place was packed.
That was
cool.
Felt
like playoff baseball, right? Now, I'm not a big, huge fan of like indoor dome stadium baseball games. It's not really my jam, but I think it's going to be pretty cool. And I'm really excited about tomorrow. I really am. I'm excited for our, you know, listeners to come in, the watch party, Manny's catering the event, and then you know, Wednesday we get to be the post game again. So you know, live sports during the Mully and Haw show, very unusual, and I'm looking forward to it.
I gotta tell you, the stuff that is out there, the Cubs are a very popular team. Everybody loves the Cubs. They've got a couple of Japanese stars. It's great that they're included in this, but my God, the Ohtani stuff is extraordinary. I mean, this is, even he went on Instagram and was showing the dinner that they have for there was a tuna the size of Vermont that they were fixing up for the players. It's just extraordinary stuff. Even he was impressed by one of the meals they were at that he had arranged. And I think I'm concerned that this is all about Shohei Ohtani, that this is nothing but this giant showcase for him. I mean, Dustin, it made me wonder, should you just walk the guy? Should this be one of these series where your old philosophy of just put him on base, let him get on base?
I totally agree with you, if I can jump in really quick. But
yeah,
I think it's probably like been talked about behind closed doors.
That
like,
would cause an international incident.
You are not allowed to do that.
If you're Craig Counsell.
You want to win? Are you here to win baseball games or are we here to promote the game? Which one?
Yeah, you go... You become
low and
you go
away,
like this, and he doesn't
low
get,
and away.
He doesn't even get a pitch. No, because
no,
he's a unicorn. He can reach.
It. Yeah. Uh-uh. Nope. Yeah, I'm with you.
He struck out yesterday.
He homered as well.
Point
he
to
bleeds.
First base. he's gonna bleed you, buddy. I'm telling you. I think that if it is,
especially if there's somebody on base,
is it Council Arch?
No,
is that what it is?
That's not even good. It's not Craig Arch.
Craig Arch.
Crouch.
Crouch.
No, it's March. That's why you pitch to him. This is fun.
They count the same, David.
I know, but
I hate that attitude. It's March. It's April. Okay. Let me know when the games don't.
I'll remind you that when they start 2-10.
You won't have to remind me.
Let the guy on base send him to first.
It's a scary good question, right?
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He's here at 7:44. How surprised were you that the White Sox named Sean Burke their opening day starter and that Joey Gallo was given his release?
He's going to be a pitcher now. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He's coming back as a pitcher. That's it.
That's crazy.
You're going to release me? I refuse to hit another homer, but I will strike you out. I thought it was interesting that they released him because we know they're going to be a team that doesn't have a lot of power, but that's good. You need more younger guys. I'm not sure he can help you. I don't know that he's going to hit enough homers to overcome the amount of strikeouts he'll have. So, there's not a lot of protection for him. Not a lot of reason to have signed him to begin with, frankly. So, okay, I got no problem with that. The Sean Burke thing blows my mind just because no one up to this point has suggested that he would actually be the opening day starter. I've heard a lot of names thrown around, and I think we thought it was going to be Jonathan Cannon, and then there was this conversation about whether or not it needed to be Martin Perez, and then it was, well, what about, you know, Davis Martin? I've heard a lot of names. I haven't heard him. And I saw when they brought him in, they told him, you deserved it. You've been our best pitcher. So it's kind of interesting to see them settle on him, and he's going to be the opening day starter. It reinforces the idea that, number one, they don't have a complete pitching staff. Number two, they will eventually get a pitching staff, but it will take several years. And number three, they could be worse than they were a year ago, whether anyone wants to believe that or not. I'm not hoping for that. I'm hoping that they figure this out and that they do a good job with their pitching staff. But, man, this is picking a name out of a hat. No offense to anyone. I'm not saying that he's not going to do well or he doesn't have a shot or anything like that. But this is hardly according to Hoyle. This is not going with the plan or usually the way things are done.
Plus, the Sox are opening at home. It's a home opener.
Mike Trout.
So, maybe. It might be snowing. He won't want to get his hamstring hurt. But if he really did earn it, then I really appreciate that because it should be an open competition. And the best man, in this case, should win. And if he is that, according to them, then I think that's a good thing. I think that sends a really good message that it was a competition and what they did in spring training matter. Plus, I mean, looking at his stats from when he got called up, pretty good. Played against some pretty good teams.
Okay.
So, okay, he's one of their guys.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't a rental. Like, again, and as you guys pointed out in the first segment, like the better players are playing in the minors, right? The sexier names.
Third-round draft pick from 2021. This is a homegrown talent being rewarded for having an outstanding spring. Let's hope this is the last time the White Sox will make history this season. This is a four career outings, 19 innings pitched. It's the fewest for an opening day starter in White Sox history. And more than that, he'll be the sixth opening day starter in the last 70 years who has made three or fewer starts. That's not a lot of experience. Three starts this spring, he had a 4.15 ERA. He was better than the rest. He was rewarded for that. Jonathan Cannon has been bad. His ERA is around 10. We thought it would be him, but it wasn't him. Martin Perez probably didn't want to give the new guy. Doesn't really need that. As for Davis Martin, he made a nice pitch. I thought it would be him. He told A.J. Pierzynski that he wanted to do that, but Sean Burkett is. So Sean Burkett will be March 27th against the Angels from Anaheim, the Los Angeles Angels, with Mike Trout. I hope he does well because the Sox need somebody to emerge. And remember last year this time, much different circumstance, but we were also surprised by their opening day starter. And Garrett Crochet took the world by storm. Not that that's going to happen again, but it is the second year in a row where we're like, they're starting who? Okay, Sean Burke.
But isn't it a little different?
It's a lot different.
Because we had heard of him a little
Crochet
bit.
Had some good moments.
Yeah.
Sean Burke, can you guarantee me that Sean Burke will be on the White Sox by the All-Star break?
Well, this is the problem.
And what is the statistic where has the opening day starter ever been sent to the minors in the same season? Don't know. Hope we don't have to find out.
I've asked this question, a lot, obviously.
Connor Bedard received his second straight 10-minute misconduct penalty Saturday night against the Canucks.
Reichel's in the mix of that as well. Frankie Nazar goes in to help his teammates out. This might be a little bit of the response on the hit on Hedl.
See if we get anything out of this with 2.5 to go in the hockey game. Hronek and Bedard still talking to each other.
What is going on here?
I think somebody from the Blackhawks has got to defend Connor Bedard publicly, privately, on the ice, off the ice. I think he's getting picked on and targeted. I think you look at the ridiculous 10-minute penalty he received in the final 9 minutes of the game the other night, Thursday night. We talked about that. Cost them a chance to win that game with their best player in the penalty box. What did he say? What could he have said? There wasn't a slur. We would have heard about it. If it was something that really crossed the line, then what did he do yesterday? Or Saturday night? What was that all about Saturday night in Vancouver? It wasn't egregious. It didn't cross the line. This is hockey. This is the most uncivilized of civilized sports. What could he have done that was that so bad? And I don't understand why the Hawks don't sound more agitated or irritated or offended by all this. They should. He is the franchise. He still can be the franchise. Nobody's going to sit here and fool you into thinking this has been a good season for Connor Bedard. It's been a struggle. But it doesn't mean that he has to continue on this trajectory. And I think he needs some help getting pulled out of it. Defend your guy loudly, Hawks personnel, players, coaches, executives, whoever. Defend your guy. He's getting picked on and needs your help.
I'd like to hear Kyle Davidson have a message to the fans about what they're doing, like contacting the office of the NHL, things like that, contacting Gary Bettman. I did like to see in the video that I saw on this him whipping his helmet in disgust as he walked to the dressing room. So we'll have to keep an eye on this. And, David, I could have looked it up. I didn't. So he got a 10-minute penalty, but there wasn't 10 minutes left in the game. So is there a carryover effect?
I don't believe so.
So when they're at home against the Kraken on Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
So he doesn't have to like miss the first
I don't believe
X
so.
Number of minutes? There's no carryover. All right.
Okay, so I haven't seen enough of this one. But the first one was a joke. The guy is coming down. He made a really nifty pass. He gets a stick shoved under his skate. And he goes down. That's like the definition of tripping. And he turns around and he looks at the official and he says, tripping, tripping. And that's what he says. And then he goes over to the bench and he turns and he said, hey, how about a tripping call? Because he felt he was tripped, mainly because he was tripped. And then the official goes over and gets in his face and he says, okay, guy, okay, yeah. And that's it. Keeps his head down. Then they give him a 10-minute misconduct because he didn't show the guy enough respect. This is what's happened with Connor Bedard, whether anyone wants to believe it or not. What's happened is earlier in the year, all of the NHL announcers kind of decided this kid's not doing enough, he's not playing well enough, let's go after him. And they took turns, and they went after him, and they said nasty stuff about him, including Mark Messier, who I didn't know was going to fall into that.
He kind of started it.
But his was the one that carried some weight.
Yeah, I know.
Now, you got officials. Do you notice that kid is complaining about every call. Well, we're gonna stop that. So they give him the misconduct for no reason, and then he complains about another call. So they hit him with another one. They're going to teach him as officials not to show us up on the ice. The league. Someone get Gary Bettman on the line.
Yes.
Somebody. And if I am his coach, his manager, I am getting thrown out of the game with him.
I am doing the same thing. I'm getting fined.
What are you doing sitting back and watching this?
It's just like in football. If you have a head coach whose quarterback is getting pummeled,
yes,
and you're doing nothing,
yes,
you're saying nothing, you can't do that. Silence is not the response you want in a situation like this because of what you just described. Well, the refs are essentially following everybody else's lead,
yes,
showing him no respect.
None.
Ugh.
Do something about it or you're going to wind up with an injured player. Give me a break. All right. We got the extra point next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
While reserving the right to change your picks, what is your first glance final four after seeing the NCAA tournament brackets released?
I think that's a key phrase in there, while reserving the right to change your picks, so everyone in here has the autonomy to do that, if so choose. I will not. I'm going to stick with them, and I'm always with the disclaimer. I find it impossible to fill out a bracket without having it tinged heavily with nostalgia. So my Final Four resembles probably something that could have been a Final Four in 2009, maybe even 1999, but it's going way back. I'll start with Tennessee, that my lone SEC representative in the Final Four, one of 14 teams that makes it from that conference. Tennessee, Duke, St. John's, and Michigan State. Michigan State and St. John's would match up in that scenario. You'd have Izzo versus Pitino. What year is it? Goodness sakes. Izzo versus Pitino. I'm taking the Izzos. Sparty in the final against the Dukies and John Shire. And maybe Cooper Flagg. Maybe not, depending on his health. Michigan State and Duke in the final. What year is it? You know what year it is? It's the year the Big Ten wins again. A Big Ten team will cut down the nets for the first time since the last time Michigan State did it in 2000. Mateen Cleaves. Remember that team? Michigan State. Go Sparty. They're going to win it all.
I can get on board with that, David. I like Sparty. I like Tom Izzo. I've got a very similar. My one side is exactly the same as yours. I'll start there. Tennessee and Duke, they're playing each other. If you want a little sleeper down in that bracket to the bottom right, it's Clemson. I don't think they're talked enough about. Mm. Look out for Clemson. Mm. On the left-hand side, I have my second SEC team, and that's Florida. I am not drinking the Rick Pitino Red Storm St. John's Kool-Aid. Not doing it.
They're gonna
play Florida, yep, but Florida's gonna beat them.
Okay.
Up on top, I've got Michigan State beating Auburn when the going gets tough. The tough go home, and that Michigan State's going to eliminate Auburn. I have Duke and Florida, and I have Florida. I mean, it's chalkity, chalk, chalk, chalk. I've got all twos and ones playing in the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get away from the chalk. It really is difficult. You know, just to mix it up, just for snorts and giggles, I'll go with Florida over Duke as well, but I'll go Michigan and Houston will be my other Final Four teams.
Okay. Wow, you got Michigan going to the Final Four?
Just throwing
them. Awesome.
In. Yeah.
That's good.
Just give a little Big Ten.
They're going to take care of Auburn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what the hell? I mean, I'm just having fun.
So are we going to – do we need to have our officials on Wednesday or Thursday morning?
Whatever you want. Whatever you choose.
Asking.
You're the boss.
Yeah.
You're the boss, man.
That's so
nice. You tell me what to do, I do it.
Not here or at home.
Yeah, you can make it Wednesday if you want. I'll do it Thursday. That's fine.
Exactly. See? That's it. I want to know Brandon's.
Whatever you say,
if I say
boss,
Thursday, he'll have it on Wednesday.
I want Brandon's
Brandon,
final
what's
four.
Your final four?
My final four is – I'm kind of with you guys. I got Duke –
coming out the East. I got Tennessee coming out the Midwest. I got St. John's coming out the West. And then the South bracket, I also have Michigan. I got the same as Mully for right now, which is Michigan beating Auburn. And I actually got Michigan in the final with Duke, and I got Duke winning it.
Wow.
Duke over Michigan? Chris Webber special.
But if Brandon and Mully are right about Michigan, how cool would it be a Michigan State to go to the Final Four?
I think it would be cool.
That would be a really cool game.
That's exactly what I have for my bracket. I have Michigan taking on Michigan State, so they can go to the Final Four.
That's a good Big Ten provincial pick.
I think Michigan might have trouble with Texas A&M.
Yeah.
You know, I like that they went big, but you always look for guards. It's a guards tournament, and Florida has the best guards in the nation. They got three of them. So
watch out for Yale. I know you're talking about Texas A&M, but Yale could be Texas A&M.
Well, yeah. Texas A&M is one of those I think can't miss opening games. There's not a ton of them on Thursday, Friday, but that's one that I really
I am watch. Really curious to see what Drake can do. And I'm very curious to see if Indiana wants to hire that coach.
Ben McCollum?
When the
Iowa might want
over.
To hire him too.
Well, there you go.
And I think Drake have beating Missouri in the first round.
I think that Big Z wants a word. But I also believe that it could be VCU could be a scare team.
I got them winning too. That's a good call.
Yeah.
I think Wisconsin could win two games, and I have them being eliminated by Alabama. And Wisconsin is playing at a pretty high level this time of year, like Greg Gard's teams tend to do. So I'm just intrigued by the Duke-Michigan matchup in the final that Brandon Fryer has.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
That would be something else.
Yeah.
Two good coaches.
Chris Webber, that's pretty funny.
But Chris Webber, that was against North Carolina. It just made me think of Duke in the 90s.
Yeah.
The Fab Five was the hot in the 90s, too. Chris Webber's timeout lived in infamy, and he's still best known for that. Best known him and Matt Eberflus, two guys known for timeouts. Best.
Oh man,
ones they didn't have, or ones they didn't take.
Why'd you have to bring that up? I'd forgotten about that.
You like Houston though, huh? Over Purdue? I think I have them too. But
I think Purdue's going out early.
Oh, you got them beating. You don't have them beating Clemson, do you?
I have them losing to High Point.
You do not.
I got High Point ahead of them.
Seth Davis said that last night.
Well, I'm going way the other way.
I've got Clemson beating Purdue.
Okay. I can respect that.
I got Purdue in the Elite Eight.
Thank you.
Yeah, Purdue's going to do okay.
I have Purdue losing to Houston, so I think Brandon's Mr. Big Ten then this year.
Look at him.
I'm down with Big Ten.
Down with the Big Ten.
All right.
Interesting.
Who did you take in the women's bracket?
USC.
USC.
Yeah.
Juju all the way.
Juju.
Big Ten all the way.
When do I have to have that filled out by?
Thursday. I got USC and Notre Dame going a long way.
All right. That is your pick six. We're going to open up the phone lines. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
And we spent a lot of time on that today. We didn't move anybody off of a seed line, but we really had to move people around to minimize the conflict early. And when you have, four different regions, we made sure we only had four teams in one region so that we could spread them out the best we could. We had a couple of contingency brackets, and we actually had five, and so we had to go back and then try to rework the bracket a little bit. Again, keeping everyone on the same seed line to move them apart the best that we could. But you're right, 14 teams out of one league in a 68-team bracket is a real challenge to get everybody in there and meet all of the principles that we have about trying to keep the teams apart.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670, the score. That is the voice of Bubba Cunningham. He was the director. He's the North Carolina, AD there, but he was the director of the selection committee.
Yep.
So he was interviewed on CBS. After the show itself, after the revealing of all the seeds. And yeah, because the SEC got 14 teams into the tournament, they had to do some running around there.
And that wasn't the biggest problem that Bubba Cunningham faced on Sunday afternoon.
I mean, come on.
It was the appearance of impropriety, or not even, that's the wrong word, of him, just a conflict of interest. It was a definition of a conflict of interest in many people's eyes, because the chairman of the committee presided over a process that allowed North Carolina to be the last team in.
Right.
Where he is the athletic director. Cronyism at its best, or giving the benefit of the doubt to a blue blood program, comes down to.
They had no signature victory.
They did not.
They didn't do anything.
They did not. And I think what people aren't buying is that because Bubba Cunningham leaves the room, but it's Bubba in this case. This has happened before over the years. I think you have a lot of these conflicts of interest that you wonder how these guys discuss the viability of North Carolina without Bubba Cunningham in the room, without factoring him into that equation. He's going to be back here in 20 minutes. You know,
yeah.
It seems.
Don't tell him his team stinks.
It seems like it would be an outcry, outrage in West Virginia, in Bloomington, places of where programs probably believe they belong more than North Carolina. They have the most valid argument in West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. There are Indiana fans that are outraged because North Carolina got in. Ditto Boise State fans. Ditto West Virginia fans. I mean, you know, they feel like they got pitznagled, and he was once on their team.
I think when you look at North Carolina, though, now they get in, they play the winner of – or no, they play San Diego State in a play-in round as an 11 seed.
Right.
Then they get to play Ole Miss if they win, and then after that, they have games – because North Carolina has talent, it just hasn't had a good season. They could be one of those teams where we argue about on Monday morning and whether or not they belong, and then go out and win a couple games.
But I mean, they faced Duke in the ACC tournament, minus the presumptive national player of the year, and minus the defensive stopper, and they still found a way to lose that game.
They did.
So they needed to win that game, and then they'd be in the tournament. I really believe that. But they ended up losing that game, and I mean, I don't know why they got in. If it wasn't because
reputation
was there,
history,
no
prestige.
Question.
That's it. It was definitely a nod.
Definitely not anything they did this year.
No, it wasn't necessarily anything about the present as much as about the past. And they get the nod, and other teams, you know, maybe a little less controversial. The Big Ten, I think Michigan has a gripe if they want to make a big deal about it.
How they were seeded.
Yeah. They're probably still very pleased, though, with winning the Big Ten tournament championship, which was really a great testament to Dusty May's coaching. That was a really great job, the way that he brought that team back. They came in really not playing well, and they end up cutting down the nets.
It's interesting because I think that if you look at the Big East, for instance, down year for the Big East, but they did manage to get five teams in. They only got three in a year ago.
Mm-hmm. So, led by St. John's Resurgence.
Yes.
Rick Pitino, his sixth team in the NCAA tournament. That's amazing.
Good. And his son's in, too. That's
New Mexico.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Yeah.
Then you got Porter Moser back in with Oklahoma, a first-round matchup between Danny Hurley and Porter Moser. Also, you've got Bill Self and John Calipari, Kansas and Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great stuff. This is all about the coaches.
With the winner taking on Rick Pitino.
How about that?
And that's something. All right, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.